Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Leo. Okay, well, guess it's just you today. I should be okay. All right. So today we're going to be talking about Paul, the apostle. Do you know who Paul is? Yep. So he was a very important figure in the Bible and the history of the church. And we get a lot of our teachings from Paul's writings. And matter of fact, we've been going through 1 Timothy here, which is one of Paul's letters. So this morning, I just wanted to remind us all here about the reality of Paul's conversion and what it means for us as Christians. So Paul is, he was an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he wrote over 30% of the New Testament, I believe, and he was a very great theologian, right? So today we're going to talk about how he became a Christian and who he was before. So to gain the context of who Paul was before his conversion, we're going to read two passages from his writings. So in Galatians 1, 13 through 14, Paul says, "For you have heard of my former way of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions." So right here we see that Paul, who was named Saul at the time, used to be he practiced the religion of Judaism, which is not Christianity, and he believed that Jesus Christ was not the Messiah, and he used to persecute the church of God beyond measure, he said, and he tried to destroy it. So that's very strong language from Saul, right? He did not like Christians very well. And then verse 14, he says that he was advancing in Judaism beyond many of his contemporaries. So he was making a very good image of himself, right? He had his character, right? And he was doing very good. So, and in Philippians 3, 4 through 6, "Although I myself could boast as having confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he is confident in the flesh, I have more reason. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless." So he's basically saying the same thing here, right? That he was a persecutor of the church, right? And we see that in Acts 7:58, right? Which is the first appearance of Saul in the Bible, where he guards the coats of those who stoned Stephen, who was the first Christian martyr. And, you know, that's, he was approving of that death, and he was there to witness that. So I guess these verses, they give us the context of who the Apostle Paul was before his conversion, right? He was a Pharisee, persecutor of the church, and he also was a very good Jew, right? He calls himself the Hebrew of Hebrews. So with that, let's go ahead and read Acts 9, which is where we find his conversion story. "Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told to you what you must do.' The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' And the Lord said to him, 'Get up and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened. Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, He is the Son of God. All those hearing him continued to be amazed, and were saying, Is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on this name, and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priest? But Saul kept increasing in strength and confronting the Jews who lived at Damascus by providing that this Jesus is the Christ. So after reading that, do you think it is possible for someone to be too sinful for God to save them? No. And Paul is probably one of the perfect examples of that. God's grace is infinite, right? And he can save whoever he pleases, no matter their sinfulness, right? Only through Christ. And who was Saul persecuting in this message? If you remember, he says that Christ came to him in a vision and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me, right? Who was speaking to him? Yeah, Jesus Christ, right? So Saul was persecuting Christians and the church of God, and therefore he was persecuting Jesus himself. So who did Saul, after his conversion, come to be? He came to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, right? And one of the greatest theologians in the history of the church. So, did Saul deserve to be saved by Christ? No. And matter of fact, none of us do, right? We are as guilty of sin as he was on the road to Damascus at that point. So the fact that Paul, a Jewish Pharisee, Hebrew of Hebrews, as he called himself, would go from partaking in the murder of Christians and the persecution of the church to ruining his reputation by proclaiming this Jesus he was persecuting as the very Son of God is one of the biggest testimonies to the saving power of Christ. Saul deserved nothing but God's wrath and punishment, yet God showed him mercy and granted him the gift of eternal life, and then continued to use him as an instrument. Paul was one of the greatest theologians in the history of the church and went on to become a martyr for Christ. It is a beautiful picture to see that in Paul's story, he first appears at the scene of Stephen's martyrdom, which he approved and was involved with. But then his story ends with him being put to death by the sword for the same reason Stephen was. Paul knew what happened to people that proclaimed Jesus as the Son of God. Like we've discussed, Paul witnessed and approved the killing of Christians. So to know firsthand what happens when you proclaim Christ, which is death, and still do it anyway with boldness shows us that Paul truly believed in what he claimed to see. So let us live out the salvation that Christ has gifted us with boldness and without fear, and know that God's power to save people is unlimited, and we too can be saved from our sin and made new in Christ, just as Paul was. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you today to thank you for everything that you've done for us, Lord. And I pray for everyone here, Lord, that this message reminded them of your grace, Lord, and your mercy and your infinite compassion, Lord, that you can have on people. And that no matter our state now, Lord, that we come as we are and you regenerate us, Lord, and you cleanse us through the blood of Christ. And I pray that the people, the children here, Lord, today, and that aren't here, Lord, will become good men and women of God, Lord, and continue to serve you in humility and continue to grow in their wisdom and love for you. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.